Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Today we're going to a place you might not expect. We're cracking open the book of Leviticus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Specifically, chapter 5. Now, you might be thinking, Leviticus, isn't that just a bunch of rules?
Yeah, a lot of us think that.
It is. But tucked away in chapter 5, we find this idea of guilt offerings. And I think there's a lot there to unpack.
I am intrigued.
Me too. So, you know, it's more than just a simple, oops, my bad.
Right.
Like, it's about recognizing when we've messed up, especially when we've maybe, like, broken trust or neglected a responsibility.
Yeah, when we haven't lived up to what's expected of us.
Exactly. And it doesn't even matter if it was intentional or not.
Interesting.
So Leviticus 5, it lays out some scenarios where a guilt offering is called for.
Okay, like what?
Okay, so let's say you're in court, right?
Right.
You've sworn an oath to tell the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
The whole shebang.
But then you hold back. You don't reveal everything you know.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Right. Or, let's say you accidentally touch something that's considered ritually unclean.
Uh-oh.
That could also require a guilt offering.
Interesting. So it's not always about deliberate actions, it seems.
Exactly. And then there are times when we make, like, a rash oath. You know, like when you blurt something out without really thinking it through.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
Totally.
Yeah.
So Leviticus is saying, hey, even those slip-ups, those careless words, they have consequences too.
It's about recognizing the weight of our words.
Exactly. And here's what I find so interesting about Leviticus. It lays out different types of offerings based on a person's economic situation.
Oh, really? Like a sliding scale for atonement.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, if you could afford it, you might bring a lamb as an offering.
Makes sense.
But if you couldn't swing that, two birds would do.
Okay.
And for the poorest folks, a simple offering of flour was acceptable.
So it's like, no matter your means, there was a way to seek forgiveness.
Right. It's like everyone had a path to making things right. But there's this one passage in Leviticus 5 that really stood out to me, verse 16. Mm-hmm. It talks about someone who commits a trespass against, like, the holy things of the Lord. And it says that not only do they have to bring an offering, but they also have to make amends for the harm done, and then add a fifth of the value on top of it.
Wow. So it's not just about the symbolic offering. There's a real, tangible act of restitution woven in there.
Exactly. It's like, sorry isn't enough. You have to take concrete steps to repair the damage you've caused.
That's powerful.
Right. So it's about seeking forgiveness, sure, but it's also about making things right. And it makes me wonder, how do these ideas, like this guilt offering, restitution, how do they apply to us today?
It's a great question. Like, we're not bringing rams to the temple anymore.
Yeah, not so much.
So how do we translate these ancient concepts into something relevant for our modern world?
Right. I mean, the core principles feel super relevant, don't they? Like, owning up to our mistakes, taking responsibility for our actions, and actually taking steps to repair any harm we've caused. It makes you think, are there, like, modern day equivalents to these ancient rituals?
I like that. What would a modern day guilt offering look like?
Right. And how can we, like, embrace that spirit of responsibility and restoration in our daily lives?
Let's explore that. Let's dig into some specific examples.
Love it.
And see how these ancient principles can guide us toward living more ethical and fulfilling lives, even today. So, you know, we were talking about rash oaths.
Right. Like blurting things out without thinking.
Exactly. And how often do we do that today? I mean, different ways, obviously. But, like, how often do we commit to things without really thinking them through?
Oh, my gosh, all the time. Especially,
yeah.
Like, at work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, saying yes to every social invitation.
Oh, yeah. That fear of missing out.
Totally. And then I end up feeling, like, totally overwhelmed and resentful.
Yeah, because you've overextended yourself.
Exactly.
And that's where this idea of mindfulness comes in. You know, Leviticus 5.4 talks about those rash oaths. And it's, like, a reminder to, like, slow down. To actually think about what we're saying and to really be present when we're making commitments, not just like saying yes on autopilot.
It's like hitting the pause button before you agree to anything, asking yourself, can I actually follow through on this?
Right.
Or is this even something I want to be doing?
Yeah.
Does it align with, like, my priorities?
Exactly. And, you know, when we're mindful of our promises, we're more likely to keep them, and that builds trust.
Yeah. For sure.
In our relationships, at work, you know, everywhere.
So how about restitution? Like actually making amends for the harm we've caused. It's not always about, like, a physical thing. Right?
Right. It's not always about replacing something broken or paying back money.
What if you hurt someone's feelings? or like betray their trust.
Yeah, those are tricky situations because you can't just like fix it with a tangible action.
Right.
But the principle still applies. It's about acknowledging the pain you've caused, expressing remorse, and then taking steps to rebuild that trust.
So maybe that looks like having a real conversation with the person,
mm-hmm.
admitting you messed up, and then like really committing to changing your behavior.
Exactly. It's about showing them through your actions that you care and that you're going to do better.
And sometimes it might mean giving them space.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes that's what's needed.
So it's not always about a grand gesture or a quick fix.
Right. It's about being thoughtful and responding in a way that actually helps to heal the situation.
You know, all of this, it feels like there's a bigger message here. Something about, like, taking ownership of our lives.
That's a really interesting point. It's not just about, like, avoiding negative consequences.
Right.
It's about, like, living with intention, with integrity.
And recognizing that our choices have an impact.
Exactly. On ourselves and on the people around us.
It's like we each have this responsibility to, like, cultivate our own sense of ethics, our own personal accountability.
Absolutely. It's not about waiting for someone else to tell you what's right or wrong.
Right.
It's about, like, developing your own internal compass, one that guides you towards making choices that align with your values.
And that, honestly, that really resonates with me. In a world that often feels so chaotic and out of control, there's something really grounding about taking ownership of your actions and really trying to live with integrity.
It's empowering because it reminds us that we have a choice in how we show up in the world.
So we've talked about these big picture principles,
mm-hmm.
but what about, like, practically speaking? How can people actually apply these ideas in their daily lives?
Well, I think it starts with self-awareness. Like, what are your tendencies?
Mm-hmm.
When are you most likely to make a rash promise or act impulsively? Once you know that, you can start to, like, put some strategies in place.
So if you know you overcommit, maybe you start saying, hey, let me check my calendar and get back to you.
Exactly. Or if you're prone to speaking without thinking, maybe you practice pausing before responding.
Especially when you're feeling, like, emotional.
Yes. Give yourself that moment to breathe and consider your response.
And then there's restitution. What are some, like, concrete examples of what that might look like today?
Well, you know, it can be simple things. Like, if you damage someone's property, you fix it or replace it.
Right.
If you borrowed something and haven't returned it, you make a point of doing that.
It's about following through on your commitments, big or small.
Yeah. And when it comes to, like, emotional harm, if you've hurt someone's feelings,
yeah,
restitution might look like having a real heart-to-heart conversation, acknowledging the pain you caused, and sincerely apologizing.
It's got to be more than just words, right?
Absolutely. It's about showing them through your actions that you've learned and you're committed to doing better.
It's about rebuilding trust.
Exactly. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes you need to give the other person space to heal.
Right.
But it always starts with owning your part in the situation.
It's funny, like, this whole idea of restitution,
yeah,
making amends, it's not something we really talk about much these days.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of fallen out of fashion.
Like, we've forgotten how powerful it can be.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, we're so focused on individual rights these days,
right,
that we forget about, like, the collective good,
right,
the responsibility we have to each other.
Or maybe it's because, you know, we're so quick to judge and condemn.
Yeah.
That we don't even consider the possibility of redemption.
Ugh.
Or second chances.
I think there's a real hunger for a more, like, restorative approach, though. Something that focuses on, like, healing, reconciliation, yeah, instead of just punishment.
Right. Like, people want to bridge those divides,
mm-hmm,
rebuild that trust.
Exactly. And I think that's where these ancient principles can be so helpful.
Yeah.
They remind us that true justice isn't just about, like, an eye for an eye.
Right.
It's about repairing harm and restoring wholeness.
For everyone involved.
Exactly. Both the individual and the community.
And Leviticus 5, in its own way, offers a model for that.
Right.
Acknowledge the harm, make, yeah, amends, and move forward in a way that benefits everyone.
It's such an old idea, but so relevant to what we're dealing with today.
Right. I mean, whether we're talking about, like, personal relationships or social justice issues,
mm-hmm,
or even, like, global conflicts.
The same principles apply. Accountability, empathy, and a willingness to make things right.
It's amazing how a deep dive into Leviticus can lead to these like profound insights about modern life.
I know, right? It's like these ancient texts, they have so much wisdom to offer.
Timeless wisdom.
Yeah, on how to live ethically, how to build strong relationships, how to create a world where, you know, everyone can thrive.
So as we wrap up our exploration of Leviticus 5, I want to leave our listeners with a question.
Okay.
How can you apply this principle of restitution in your own life?
It could be something concrete, like apologizing to someone you've wronged.
Right.
Or returning something you borrowed.
Or maybe making a donation to a cause you believe in.
Exactly.
Or it could be like a more internal shift, you know, commitment to being more mindful of your words and actions.
And how they affect others.
However you choose to apply it, remember that restitution is a powerful tool for healing, for growth, for creating a more just and harmonious world.
It's a practice worth exploring.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Leviticus 5. We'll be back next time with another fascinating exploration.